all the folklore around monsters, but are they real?
It's Anna and Raven. David Weatherly is an author, and you can visit him online at eerielights.com.
David, I know you're an all-around monster expert, but let's start with Nessie, right? Loch Ness Monster. What's up with that?
So the Loch Ness Monster specifically, of course, is a really old legend, and it's one that's disputed fairly often because, you know, in recent years, they've discovered some of the early photographs are faked and so forth. But what remains is the fact that there's so much mystery in a place like the Loch. You know, it's never really been fully explored because we don't yet have the technology to fully survey what's down there. There's new developments constantly from people who are looking to determine what exactly is in the water. Ultimately, I think what they're going to end up finding is that the Nessie sightings are probably explained by something like an incredibly large eel or some known species that is living in the Loch. But, you know, that kind of detracts, of course, from the mystery and the folklore, in a sense, of the monster. It's still, it's a fascinating legend.
I mean, even if it's an eel, right? That sucker's going to be a monster. That sucker's going
to
be...
That's true. That's true. And, you know, when it comes to all these monsters, you know, the world, anywhere you go in the world, you can find monster legends. And it's sort of that component of the unknown, right? There's always something out there that we haven't discovered. And a lot of people, you know, they go about their daily lives. They live in the middle of a big city, and they don't think about how much wilderness there is in the area, or the depths which we haven't really explored, the ocean, for instance. So, you know, people who are skeptical of these monsters, they have to, I think, take a step back and consider there are things out there we haven't discovered. You know, for a long time, the giant squid was a legend and would have been considered a cryptid. But, of course, in recent years, that's been proven to be an actual animal.
Right.
You know.
No one told me that.
What? Come on, Anna.
Sure. There's a giant octopus living somewhere?
Yeah, it's a squid. It's a giant squid. Yeah, they got it on video. Google it, man. Let's talk Bigfoot and Yeti, all right? Because I'm always fascinated by this. You know, there are vast expanses in the woods. The ocean, I mean, there's less that we know about the oceans than we know about space. But let's start in the woods, somewhere where the regular man could find themselves walking at various places across the planet. Bigfoot, yay or nay?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, once again, I have to point out how much wilderness there is. Even in North America, I encourage people to sit down and really look at a map of the country and kind of ignore for a moment all the major cities, but look at the wild areas and look at some of the states that have vast expanses of wilderness areas. You know, true, there are rural communities here and there dotted in some of those spaces, but we still have a tremendous amount of land in this country that doesn't see a human presence on a daily basis. So absolutely conceivable for these animals to be out there. And we've got so much history with these creatures because the Native Americans who were here well before Europeans all universally pretty much have legends of these hairy creatures that lived in the forest. There are so many sightings on a regular basis. Now, you know, I know some of the common questions I get, one of the most common questions is, how come we haven't found a body? And,
right.
You know, what's interesting, several years ago, I kind of considered that question, and I talked to a lot of rangers who worked at national parks, and I asked them, I said, how often do you find the body of a bear or mountain lion? And almost all of them said never.
Where the heck do they go?
Well, other things eat them.
That's right. And if you consider that, you know, we're talking about creatures that are probably dying deep in the woods and humans just aren't walking on all that territory on a regular basis. The body decomposes very quickly in the wilderness and in the elements.
But if you've never heard the term otterman, you're not going to want to miss this. You're going to be looking for one in your backyard. It's coming up with Anna and Raven. If you missed it a few minutes ago, we conquered, is Bigfoot real? Loch Ness Monster? But what is this? It's Anna and Raven. David Weatherly, he's the Renaissance man of the strange and supernatural. Acclaimed author. You can visit him online at eerielights.com.
This has been fascinating, David.
You know, you talked earlier about all these different areas that we haven't seen a lot. I know your newest book that has just come out, Monsters of the Last Frontier, has a lot to do with Alaska. You talk about ottermen. I need to know, what is an ottermen?
Yeah.
What is that?
Clue me in on that.
The term is Kushtaka, and it roughly translates as otter man or land otter man. When we go all around the world, we find these native legends of creatures. Sometimes they're able to shapeshift. so that they're animal form sometimes, and sometimes they're fully human form. Now, the reason the Kushtikan in particular gets very complex is because it's deeply rooted in the spiritual traditions of Native people in Alaska. And they sort of consider it a real creature, but at the same time, it borders into something that's a bit supernatural, in the sense that they believe that humans can be turned into Kushtika, sort of becoming lost in the wilderness or becoming lost in the water and so forth. They can encounter another Kushtika who helps them to transform. What? So you have to understand that we're talking about a completely different cultural point of view and a different worldview, because they're living on that land for so long and witnessing so many things. There are people who claim to physically seeing these bizarre looking beings. I think some of the sightings are mistaken. I think they're actually Bigfoot sightings. But when you get into the Kushtikan specifically, it's if you've seen the cover of my book, in fact, it's a depiction of one of these creatures, and it is exactly what it sounds like. It's a bipedal otter. The fact that they chose an otter, or that an otter was designated as this creature, is very interesting, because otters are able to live in the water and on the land, sort of exist in two different worlds. And when we delve into the Kushtika mythos, that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about something that kind of dwells in between the physical world and something just beyond.
David, what's in the ocean? What would you expect to find in the ocean? Aliens? A prehistoric, like, whale or shark that's been down there for 1,000 years? Not sure if you saw the Meg, but it was funny and action-packed.
I did see the Meg, and, you know, of course, there are a few stories that have cropped up here and there about giant sharks that still live. I expect we're going to find a lot more in the ocean over the next several years. The giant squid didn't surprise me at all. There's probably much larger sharks that we've yet to discover. As you said yourself, we know more about the moon than we know about the depths of the ocean. As technology rapidly advances, I think we're going to see some really surreal-looking creatures emerge from the depths of the ocean.
Wow.
What's going to be the first monster we're going to find? The first one. The first next one.
I assume you mean that is scientifically proven. My guess today, and it might be different tomorrow, my guess today would probably be a new species of shark or whale.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Something that's down there.
Is there any chance that any of these monsters are all working together and they're creating a plot to take over mankind?
Coming to get you?
Yeah.
That's probably the end of 2020.
Right.
Right. So it's a yes then.
Yes, right. As a matter of fact. All right. David, thank you so much for talking to us this morning. Your books are fascinating. If you'd like to learn more about David Weatherly, you could head to eerielights.com.